Now, I want you to open your Bibles with me to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. While you're turning to the text or the message, I'll be speaking tonight. I'll tell you this. I'll be speaking tonight from the book of Colossians chapter 2. I've got an ambitious undertaking tonight. I'm going to try to tell you what the second chapter of Colossians is all about. It's 23 verses, and it's an ambitious undertaking, but it's going to be a profitable one. Colossians chapter 2. Now, here's a verse of Scripture, 2 Corinthians 13. Verse 5, it's a verse with which you're very familiar. I've used it often. Other preachers use it often. 2 Corinthians 13, 5. The title of this message is Genuine or Counterfeit. Genuine or Counterfeit. It says in verse 5, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be counterfeit. That's what that word reprobate means, counterfeit. Now, when I read that, what entered your mind? Well, I believe this might have entered your mind. You're thinking that my message today will be one of discouragement and doubt and criticism, but quite the contrary. Quite the contrary. This is going to be a message of encouragement. It's going to be a message of assurance. I'm going to show you, if the Holy Spirit is pleased to give me some understanding and wisdom, what this verse is all about. This text and another that I'm going to read in a few moments was written not to plant doubts in people's minds. That's not why it's written at all. It's written to give a reason for the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. It's not written to plant doubts in your minds and to discourage you and to look for some hope within. It's to encourage you. It's to give you a better hope. We have a good hope in Christ Jesus. We have, the Scripture says, it's a blessed hope, it's a good hope, it's a sure hope, it's a living hope. So now let's see what this verse is saying. And as I've taught you, I've said this many times here. When you read a verse of Scripture, please go back and read what's written before it. Put that verse in its context. One of the faults that we have today is a fellow reach and get a verse out of the Bible and shake all the other verses off of it. Just shake them all off. Get rid of all the context, what precedes it or follows. Just shake them all off and then put it up there and say, now, you see that? That doesn't mean a thing except as it's left where it belongs, right here. Now, I want you to watch this. Let's go back and read the preceding verses. Help us understand. Paul says in chapter 13, verse 1, this is the third time I'm coming to you. This is the third time. What does he mean by that? Well, he visited them once, only once, in person. He was there for 18 months, a year and a half, preaching the gospel to this church at Corinth. He was there for 18 months. Well, how does he say, I'm coming to you now the third time? Well, he wrote them, he was there in person 18 months, and then he wrote them an epistle. The first epistle to the Corinthians. He wrote that letter. The Holy Spirit inspired him to write that letter. And that was his second visit. He visited in the letter. And he says, and this is the third time that I'm coming to you. This is the second epistle or third visit. This is a fulfillment of the scripture, and it's something we need to remember. Let every word be established by the mouth of two or three witnesses. Moses wrote that in Deuteronomy, and then our Lord Jesus Christ emphasized it in John chapter 5. Let every word be established at the mouth of two or three witnesses. Back in the Old Testament days, they wouldn't receive one man's word at all. Had to be two or three. And Paul says, I'm coming to you now the third time. The third time. All right, verse 2. And then he quotes this, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Now, verse 2. I told you before. I told you on my first visit. I talked to you about it on my second visit in the first epistle. And I'm telling you again, as if I were present. I'm telling you the second time. And being absent from you, now I write to them which heretofore have sinned. What's he talking about? When he wrote them the first epistle, he corrected these errors, divisions, and strife and trouble that existed in this church. They were battling over their preachers. One said, I'm of Paul. Another said, I'm of Apostle. Another said, I'm of Cephas. Another said, I don't care for any of those fellows. I'm of Christ. He said, you're behaving like natural men. And then he rebuked them for going to law with one another, going before unbelievers to have their troubles settled. He rebuked them about divorce. Some of them felt like that they were married and then converted, and their wife was not converted, so they just put her away. He said, no, don't do that. If you're already married, remain married. If your wife's not converted, it may be by your life and testimony she'll be brought to Christ. And then the misuse of gifts, he rebuked them for that. They were misbehaving at the Lord's table. This is what he's saying to them. I told you before. And I foretell you now, as if I were present the second time. And being now absent, I write to them who are responsible for all this division and strife and discord and going to law and misuse of gifts and misbehaving at the Lord's table and all of these things. I tell you now, and to all other, if I come again, I won't spare them. I'll speak and act as an apostle. That's what he's saying. Now listen to the third verse. And this verse right here is a key word in relation to my text. What was my text? Look at verse 5. Examine yourselves. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Now look at verse 3. Since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you is not weak, but is mighty in you. What's going on here? Paul says, you seek proof that I'm in the Lord, that I'm speaking for Christ. You're examining me, Paul said. You're examining me. You're seeking proof that I'm God's servant, proof that God is speaking through me, proof that God sent me. You see, he's rebuked them again and again about their behavior and so forth. And some of them say, well, he's not an apostle. You don't have to listen to him. Turn back to 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians 10. You see, some of the members of this church, and they were prompted by false apostles and false preachers, had called into question Paul's authority. They had called into question Paul's apostleship. That's what they had done. And these folks were examining Paul. Examining Paul. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10, look. For his letters, his epistles, say they are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak. He's a weak man. His speech is contemptible. They were talking about Paul. His bodily presence is weak and his speech is contemptible. Look at 2 Corinthians 11, 6. He says, though I be rude in speech, he acknowledged that, yet not in knowledge. We've been throughly made manifest among you in all things. Turn back to 2 Corinthians 10, 1. This was something that was going on there. They were finding fault with Paul. Now, I, Paul, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence I am base among you. You consider, look at all these words, weak, base, contemptible. That was a feeling that some of them had for this apostle. Now back to our text, 2 Corinthians 13, 3. You seek proof of Christ speaking in me. You're examining me. You're examining me. Now he admits this. He says this, which to you it is not weak. I may be weak. I may be base. I may be contemptible, but not towards you. But Christ speaking in me is mighty in you. I taught you the gospel, Paul said. Turn back to 1 Corinthians 15. He said, I've taught you the gospel. I've taught you the gospel. I may be weak. I may be base, but my gospel's not weak. My gospel's mighty. I may be weak. I may be base, but my gospel is mighty. The gospel I preached to you has been the power of God to salvation to you. 1 Corinthians 15, 1. Listen, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached to you, and which also you received, and wherein you stand, by which you say. This gospel is the power of God to your salvation, if you keep in memory what I preached to you. Base and weak and contemptible, but I preached the gospel to you. Unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He admits to being weak. Paul admits to being base. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verse 26. He admits to being nothing. He says so often, I labor more abundantly than you all. Yet not I, but Christ in me. He said, I'm not one whit behind the chief apostle, but I'm nothing. Who is Paul? Who is Apollos? Who is Cephas? Just ministers by whom you believe. We're nothing. God is all things. All things. One plants and one plows and other waters. God gives the increase. He kept saying that. Look at 1 Corinthians 1, 26. You see your calling, brethren? Not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. God has chosen the foolish things of the world. God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. God has chosen the base things of the world. What did they say about Paul? He's weak. He's base. His speech is contemptible. He said that's whom God chooses. He chooses the weak and the base. And look, and things that are despised, contemptible, hath God chosen, things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Over here, verse chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, look across the page. Brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech, or wisdom, human wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness. Who is weak that I'm not weak? And in fear and in much trembling, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. That's not where it belongs. It belongs in the power of God. Now back to the text. Let's see what this leads up to. Verse 3, he said, you're examining me. You're seeking proof of Christ speaking in me. Well, I can tell you this, I am weak. I am base. Unworthy. I am nothing. But my ministry to you has not been weak. It's been mighty in God. But he gives this illustration. Look at verse 4. He's Christ speaking to me, for though he was crucified through weakness. Wait a minute. When our Lord Jesus Christ was here on this earth, look at him. Weak. Weak. Though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. Look at that sight deceived many people. That sight deceived many people. They said, well, he's a carpenter. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Behold, a gluttonous man, a wine bibber. Paul said, you say I'm weak. You say I'm base, I'm contemptible. That's what they said about my Lord. There's no beauty about him that we should desire him. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He's despised and rejected of men. He's a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Everybody who was anybody turned thumbs down on that Nazarene. He was crucified through weakness. Yet he lived by the power of God. They looked on the outside, and they saw nothing but a carpet. Even when he was on the cross, the centurion said, surely this man was the Son of God. But the rest of them said, he said he's the Son of God. Let's see if God will have him. That centurion saw what they didn't see. That thief saw what they didn't see. He was crucified through weakness. Yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak like him. See that word, in him? Look in your reference. With him. We're weak with him, like him. We apostles are weak like he was. We bear reproaches and persecution and affliction as he did in the day of his humiliation. But listen to the next line. But we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. We're strong in our gospel. We're strong in Christ. Turn to Philippians 4. Listen to this. Oh, Paul said, you're examining me. Well, you won't find anything but weakness. You say I'm base and weak and my speech is contemptible. Oh, that's so, but not my gospel. Don't judge the gospel by the vessel. Don't ever do that. Don't be that foolish. Philippians 4, verse 12. Listen, I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things, I'm instructed to be full and to be hungry. I've been both. Both to abound and suffer need. But I tell you this, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, verse 5. Examine yourself. Whether you be in the faith. Oh, that's where that comes from. You see? Paul said, you've been examining me. You've been examining the vessel. Examine yourselves. Examine yourselves. Don't spend your time examining the messenger. You'll only be disappointed. You'll never be disappointed in the message, but the messenger, yes. You say I'm weak and base and contemptible. You're right. My Lord was weak. They said the same thing about him. He was weak in the flesh, and like him, with him, we're weak in the flesh, but we're strong in faith and strong in the gospel. Now, to illustrate what I'm talking about, I want to share a letter with you. And I'm not being hard. I'm not being critical of this person that wrote the letter. This comes from clear over in South Carolina. I want you to listen. This is today's discussion or questions or whatever. It's a very respectful letter. Dear Mr. Mahan, please send me some tapes. I'm sending $2 for the tapes. I wish I could get, we'll also get the one I'm ordering, so forth and so on. I'd like to talk with you someday. I'd like to ask you some questions. Now, here are the questions. Who taught you the Bible? What persuasion or profession do you belong to? Do you have an experience of grace? How do you judge other people? By their talk or by their walk? These are the questions. Now, this is what Paul is saying. The same thing is done here. They're examining him. They're seeking proof that he speaks for God. They're seeking proof that he's in Christ. Paul turns around and he says, here's what you need to do. Examine yourselves. You see that? Examine yourselves. Don't spend your time proving others, examining others, even the messenger. It's not the messenger, it's the message. Now, in a few moments, Paul says this to him, even if I am a counterfeit, that's not the issue. The issue is your relationship with God. That's right. You don't stand or fall with me, you stand or fall with Christ. Your acceptance with God is not what you think of Paul or Apollos or Cephas, but what think you of Christ? Whose son is he? All right, let's look at this. Examine yourself. There are three words here that need a careful look. He says, verse 5, examine yourselves. Same verse, prove yourselves. Same verse, know yourself. Examine yourself. Prove yourself. Know yourself. All right, what does it mean to examine oneself? Well, turn back to 1 Corinthians 11. What does it mean to examine yourself? 1 Corinthians 11, verse 28. Now, here Paul is talking to the church about the Lord's table, how to conduct the Lord's table, how to come together to remember the broken body and shed blood of Christ. And as the church gathers about the table to take that bread, which is his body, and that wine, which is his blood, he assigns them a task in verse 28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Now, what's he examining? He's looking for a feeling? No. Feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving, said Martin Luther. I trust the Word of God. Nothing else is worth believing. Don't examine for a feeling. Don't examine yourself for perfection. You won't find it. You'll find it in Him. But examine yourself what? About what? Do you discern the Lord's broken body and shed blood? That's the question. Whether you be in the, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. When I was writing this message and studying it, when I came to that, about to examine yourself. All right, I thought, I'll examine myself. Number one, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner by birth, a sinner by practice, a sinner by nature. I'm a sinner. Every man in his best state is vanity. I'm a sinner. All right, secondly, I know this. God is merciful to sinners and sent his Son into this world to save sinners. Isn't that what Scripture says? Christ himself said, I didn't come to call the righteous. I came to call sinners. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. Paul said, this is a faithful saying, Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. He died for the ungodly. I'm a sinner, but Christ came to save sinners. And I believe that. Do you believe that? Examine yourself. I believe that. I believe God's covenant of mercy. I believe Christ is God's only begotten Son, that he came into this world to save sinners. I believe he obeyed the law perfectly as he walked through this world, and that he died on that cross for sinners. I believe that. I believe that in my heart. Do you? I believe he was buried and rose again. He ascended to heaven where he sits at the right hand of God. Do you believe that? I believe that. Well, our God says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. I believe that. So I'm in the faith. There's only one faith. It's the faith of Christ. It's faith in Christ. It's faith from Christ. And I'm in the faith. All right, that next verse says, prove yourself. I want you to turn to this other scripture over in 2 Peter 1. Prove yourself. Prove. How do you prove yourself? You prove yourself by the Word of God. In other words, we talk about proving ourselves, we turn to the Scripture. And I turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. Listen to this. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 2. 2 Peter 1, verse 2. Prove yourself. 2 Peter 1, verse 2. All right. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. That's what we believe. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. Now, besides this, give diligence. Now, in other words, anything that's alive grows. Anything that's alive grows. This pulpit doesn't make any progress. It doesn't grow. This pulpit's been here for 36, 37 years. And it's no change. No change at all. Got some watermarks on it, but it hadn't changed because it's not alive. That plant hadn't changed in all these years, but I've changed. You've changed. These children are growing. They're growing. And everything that lives grows. The trees grow. The plant. Everything that got life grows. Now, he said, examine yourself whether you're in the faith. I believe Christ is the only Savior. Now, prove it. Prove it. Prove it how? By the Word. Prove it how? By growth. Prove it how? By maturity. Prove it how? By activity in Christ. And that's what he's saying here in verse 5. He's talked about the promises, and he said, and besides this, prove it. Give all diligence to add to your faith virtue. What's virtue? Excellence, manliness, character. Add to your faith virtue. And to your virtue, knowledge. Grow in grace and the knowledge of Christ. And to knowledge, temperance. That's self-control. Put the wraps on. Put the brakes on. See what? Self-control. Get in charge. That's what your children do as they grow. When they're born, they're your children. But as they grow a little older, they get a little more independence and a little more, you can depend on them more. They exercise some self-control. They exercise some patience, some understanding. See that? They're growing. You're proud of them. They do something on their own. Listen. And to your knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, patience. And to patience, just plain godliness. Honesty, integrity. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. Kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. Now, if you do these things and abound, they make you, you'll not be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't give you a knowledge of Christ. They make you fruitful in the knowledge of Christ. You see what I'm saying, Cecil? Paul said, you fellows have been working me over, examining me, and that's not the issue. I'm not the issue. The vessel's not the issue. The messenger's not the issue. He may be weak and base and contemptible in his speech and so forth, but that's not the issue. Like this dear person here wants to know about me. It doesn't matter where I buy my groceries. It doesn't matter when Doris and I met one another. It doesn't matter about it. The matter is the message. Paul said, if you want to find some fault in me, come over to the house and I'll fill you in. But that doesn't change the message. This message has been mighty in power to you and to you and to you and to you. Isn't that what he's saying? It's been mighty in power. Even Christ was crucified in weakness, and we're weak like him and with him. But the message is not weak, and blessed is the man who can see the message, not the messenger. That's what's given rise to these glorified preachers on television. They've popularized themselves. They're presenting themselves. They're naming everything after themselves. They're projecting themselves. And then one of them takes a nosedive. Well, he's got no message and he's got no character, so you're just lost. You see that? The message. Now he says, examine yourself. Not me, yourself. Whether you be in the faith. Whether you be in the faith in Christ. Do you believe on Christ? Now prove yourselves. Are you growing? Now stay at 2 Peter 1. Let's see something else. Verse 8 said, now if you do these things, add to your faith manliness, character, excellence. Add to your faith temperance, self-control, temperance, patience, and godliness, and kindness, and love. You do these things, you won't be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. But now look at verse 9. But he that lacks these things, he's blind. He can't see afar off. He's forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Now watch this verse. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. It's all tied in with this right here. Your calling's tied in with your life. Your election is tied in with your life. Your faith is tied in with your conduct. Your believing is tied in with your obedience. If you do these things, you'll never fail. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the kingdom of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Now I've got to hurry back to my text, 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. I've got a couple of other things I want to show you. Verse 5, examine yourselves. Are you in the faith? Are you in Christ? Prove yourself. Are you growing in Christ? Know you not yourself? Don't you know yourself? I believe we do. I just believe we do. Paul did. He said, I know whom I have believed. I know. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I know that. John said, I know I've passed from death unto life. I love the brethren. Don't you know yourself? A believer knows he's a believer. Peter knew he was a believer. You know what he said to our Lord? All those people walked off and he said, will you go away? He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? We believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, and thou hast the words of eternal life. Where are we going? Judas knew he was a hypocrite. Now watch it. The others didn't, but he did. When they were sitting around the table and the Lord said, one of you is going to betray me, they all began to ask, is it I? Is it I? They didn't know he was a hypocrite. They made him the treasurer. They trusted him. He knew it. The Lord knew it and he knew it. He wasn't deceived. All his life, during his whole, you watch him throughout the scriptures, he manifests certain signs of hypocrisy. Different things he would say. The Lord knew it. He said he's a reprobate from the beginning, counterfeit. Well, someone may ask, and I thought about this, what about those people in Matthew 7? They said, Lord, we preached in your name and cast out devils and did many wonderful works in your name. And he said, depart from me, I never knew. Weren't they surprised? Yes, they were. By what? They were surprised that their works wouldn't get them in heaven. They weren't surprised to find out that they were depending on works. They knew they were depending on works. They were surprised that their works wouldn't admit them into heaven. Now look at the next line in verse 5. Except you be reprobates. That's counterfeits. Weak, yes, we're weak. But we're not counterfeits. We're not hypocrites. I know that and you know that. Imperfect, yes, we're imperfect. Paul said, I'm not perfect. But counterfeit, no. Too much flesh in us? Yes. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? But hypocrite? No. Counterfeit? No. Am I troubled? Yes. Perplexed? Yes. Cast down? Yes. Not destroyed. But I'm not a counterfeit. Can you say that? That's what he's saying here. He says, don't waste your time examining. I hear people discussing when Peter was saved. It's not important. It's when were you saved? you can settle a lot of issues about other people, but Paul said, don't be seeking proof in me. Examine yourself. Prove yourself. Don't you know yourself? Verse 6, let me move right quickly through here. I trust you shall know we're not counterfeits. We're not hypocrites. Now this in verse 7. Now I pray to God that you shall do no evil. I pray to God that you'll believe the word and believe on Christ and love Christ and do not oppose his gospel. Don't depart from God. Don't keep stirring up these things. Don't do that. And listen to what he said. I pray that you're doing it, not that we should appear approved. In other words, Paul is saying this. I'm not praying to God that you'll continue in the faith and love Christ and do what's right to vindicate me. That's not my desire, to be vindicated. I don't have to be vindicated. The message doesn't have to be vindicated. People say, well, the preacher wants me to be faithful to church, so he'll look good. The preacher wants a big crowd so that folks will think he's a great preacher. The preacher wants conversion so folks think he's doing the job. Paul said, that's not my motive at all. I pray God, verse 7, listen, I pray God that you will not do evil. Not that we should appear approved, not that I should be vindicated, and not that I should look good, and not to vindicate my message. Listen, but that you should do that which is honest, even if I am a reprobate. Isn't that what that says? Verse 7, that you should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. Now look at verse 8. We can do nothing against the truth. The gospel's true. God is true. God is sovereign. Christ is the only Savior. He's the only atonement. He's the only high priest. He will be victorious. Neither you, nor I, nor any man, nor all men are going to change that. We're not going to do anything against the truth. You can't destroy the truth. You can't thwart the purpose of God. I hear people say, well, when this happened, that was a great blow against the truth. Nah. No. God and His kingdom and His glory and His truth are so far above any individual or any person or any power or any accumulation of powers, they can't even dent His purpose. He's going to do what He will do. Christ is going to be victorious. We can't do anything against the truth, but for the truth. In other words, we'll serve the truth and purpose of God whether we're genuine or counterfeit. That's right. We'll serve the truth. We'll serve the glory of Christ and the purpose of Christ, whether we're true or whether we're counterfeit. But I trust, He said, we're not counterfeit. But you do this. You do this. You examine yourself whether you be in the faith. That's the issue. That's the main issue, whether you be in the faith. And we are in the faith. And God has manifested His grace in some growth. And we know, I know whom I have believed. I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded He's able to keep that which I've committed to Him. We're not trying to vindicate one another. We vindicate our Lord. He's true. Aren't you thankful that His purposes will all be fulfilled? They will be accomplished. His glory.